You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Well, that wasn't what we wanted to see at all, was it?
It's a reminder, folks. This is why you don't do victory laps when you're 3-0. I don't know how many times we have to see this and say this before Dolphin fans, like, I get it if you're new to following this team. What I don't get is people that are in their 30s and 40s and 50s who have watched this for the past 20 to 30 years and were jumping for joy like we had just proven something by beating the Denver Broncos and by putting up 70 points. It was nice. It was fun. But it was just a game. And now we've been brought back to earth. It's a reminder. The season is long, and this is not going to be easy. So buckle in, guys. It's going to be a good season.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a long, long way to go still. But I'm not prepared to say that these are the same old Dolphins, but it was certainly a same old Dolphins kind of result. You know, to think you were really making progress and that you were closing that gap on the Buffalo Bills, and then you go back to Highmark Stadium, formerly Rich Stadium, and you go and you get your hind end served to you by a Buffalo team. That's pretty same old Dolphins behavior. Again, I'm not definitively saying these are the same old Dolphins because there's still a lot of positive signs. But you know, the thing is, when you get punched in the mouth, what it's all about is how you respond. And well, that's going to be what the Dolphins have an opportunity to do next week against the New York Giants. But we're not there yet. We first got to talk about this game against Buffalo, and that's what we're going to do on this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. But before we do that, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, go ahead and follow us on X, which you can find at twitter.com. Follow me. I'm at Amplified to Rock. You can follow him at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can also find at Same Old Dolphins and at Amplified to Rock on Blue Sky if you are in the blue place. We invite you to download, rate, review, and subscribe to every episode of the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcasts. You can find this one. Visit DolphinTalk.com each and every day, your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And finally, make sure that you are subscribed to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel and that you turn on notifications so you know every single time we go live. Brain, once again, with an opportunity to make a massive statement, the Miami Dolphins went to Buffalo and instead found themselves on the receiving end of a statement being made by the home team. Dolphins were beaten 48-20. And the game probably wasn't even as close as the scoreline makes it sound. Dolphins defense was repeatedly exposed by Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, and the rest of the Bills offense. And then on the other side of the ball, the Dolphins' shorthanded offensive line failed to cope with Buffalo's pass rush and found their woes exacerbated by an injury to Teron Armstead in the second quarter. Once again, the Dolphins found that their plan A was disrupted, and they failed to adequately adapt. So after perhaps glossing over their shortcomings because the results allowed it, particularly in week 3, The Dolphins now must face and address the issues that Buffalo exposed so they can get back on track and prevent the kind of spiral that they have experienced so many times before. So, Brain, let's I want to get something out of the way first and foremost here, because now, and I haven't seen anybody who has done this, but I have heard other people complaining about people who have been doing this. So I want to put this first and foremost. The Dolphins did not lose this game because of their quarterback. The quarterback was the least of their worries. Tua was fine. Yes, did he get a little bit rattled? Did he get off a little bit off schedule and make a couple of ill-advised passes? That the interception late in the game was probably the worst pass that he made. He had another couple of throws that were off target, but this was not a game that was Tua's burden to bear in any way, shape, or form. In a lot of ways, I would say the Tua is one of the guys who comes out of this, you know, not looking fine in terms of everything, right? He was fine. He's not the reason you lost this game. The reason you lost this game, plain and simple, was your defense. And that's where we're going to start, because this defense, quite frankly, is not good enough. And I want to share with you a stat right now, Brain, a couple of stats here. First of all, and this is, of course, not including the Monday night game that is taking place right now between Seattle and the Giants. But as of the end of the day on Sunday, the Miami Dolphins have allowed the 8th most total yards per game in the National Football League. They've allowed the 8th most passing yards per game and the 11th most rushing yards per game. Brain, would you like to take a guess how many teams have allowed more points than the Miami Dolphins at this point in the season?
Well, certainly the Broncos.
That's one.
The Chargers?
Nope.
No, I don't know.
There are 3 teams in the National Football League who have allowed more points than the Miami Dolphins. The Dolphins have allowed 119 points. That's 29.8 points per game. The 3 teams who have allowed more points than the Miami Dolphins: the Denver Broncos, the Washington Commanders, and the Chicago Bears.
Okay.
That's the list. That is not the company you want to find yourself in if you were a team with the kind of aspirations that the Miami Dolphins have. The question here is, where do you point the finger? I mean, there are so many places to point your finger and go, here's a problem, here's a problem, here's a problem. So, Brain, if you had to diagnose the problems with the Dolphins defense, what would you say is thus far the biggest problem that the Miami Dolphins are dealing with at this point on defense?
Talent. They are not as talented as we thought. And frankly, you know, they're dealing with a couple of major injuries, especially, you know, coming into this game. But, you know, they were not as talented as people made them out to be, particularly in the secondary. And frankly, for as talented as their defensive line is, their defensive line is not playing up to their ability, their caliber. But really, it's the secondary, because you can say, okay, you know, Jalen Phillips was out in this game, and Bradley Chubb and Christian Wilkins and Zach Sealer didn't really make a huge impact. But I think there's confidence in those guys. You know, there's going to be conversations, I'm sure we'll get into, you know, when we talk about scheme and how this Dolphins defense needs to put more pressure. But here's the thing. Xavien Howard is clearly not the player that he was 2 years ago.
Wait a minute. I appreciate you bringing up Xavier Howard here because I want to ask a question. Okay.
Okay.
So first of all, let me tell you that according to Pro Football Reference, Xavier Howard was challenged twice in this game against Buffalo. He gave up one reception for 8 yards.
Okay.
Why, if you were Vic Fangio, do you allow a slot corner like Kader Kohou to play on the outside on an island against Stephon Diggs all day long after watching him get roasted time and time again? When you have an elite cornerback.
No, you like don't Xavier. Have an elite corner. Stop. Fine.
You don't want to call him elite. Fine.
He's not even close. He literally got burnt by Cortland Sutton all day last week. But everybody just glossed over it because Cortland Sutton was dropping balls and fumbling. So this whole notion, look, you want to be mad that Vic Fangio was lining Kader Kohou up and you want to be mad because Kader Kohou got burnt by Stephon Diggs? Fine. That's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that Kader Kohou is not on Stephon Diggs' level. But you know what? You know why? You know why Vic Fangio put Kader Kohou on Stephon Diggs? Because Xavier Howard is not on Stephon Diggs' level either. So stop. Stop with this Xavier Howard is an elite corner nonsense. He hasn't been for a couple of years. And you could take the excuses about the groin injuries last year, and I was willing to give it a pass the entire offseason and be excited, but I've watched him every single week be roasted by speed and quickness. Xavier Howard certainly has value as a corner, and he is a solid corner in this league. But at this point, he's at best a quality starter, if not an adequate starter. And he's a guy that you need to protect by playing zone coverage. So if Vic Fangio came into the game and said, hey, who's the best guy that I could put on Stephon Diggs, you know, in a man situation, and he came up with Kader Kohou, and Kader Kohou got burned, you want to be mad at Vic Fangio for not adjusting and not changing it up after seeing him get roasted? You want to be mad about them playing, for some reason, a bunch of man, even though we were told that this was going to be mostly a zone defense? I'm with you on that. I get that. But this whole notion that Xavier Howard, you would have put him on Stephon Diggs and he would have shut him down? No, get the hell out of here with that nonsense.
To be fair, I never suggested that Xavier Howard was going to shut him down.
You said he was an elite corner.
Well, whether he's actively elite, whether he's formerly elite, whatever the case may be, is there's no excuse for leaving Kader Kohou out on an island with Stephon Diggs, who's cooking him alive the whole game. You have to make an adjustment at some point. You got to give that guy some help. And that never happened. Help never arrived. So, yes, I think it is fair to say that the talent in the secondary right now isn't where you want it to be, and that you are waiting on the return of Jalen Ramsey and you're waiting on the return of Nick Needham. Fine. I think that's fair. I think that's justified. But at the same time, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and accepting the same and expecting a different result. And when you leave Kader Kohou by himself with Stephon Diggs, that's going to be the result. Now, also Kader Kohou needs to make a tackle. Brandon Jones needs to make a tackle. You can't let those things happen.
David Long needs to make a tackle. All right, look.
But anyway, continue with your point on the secondary.
Okay, so I think that there's a lot less talent there than people say. I tried to warn you coming into the season. I said, you know, everybody's kind of expecting Xavier Howard to make a bounce back year, and everybody's talking up Kader Kohou because he was a really nice story. Kader Kohou is a nice player, but this was a reminder that Kader Kohou is not a Pro Bowl corner. He is best suited to be a slot corner. He's best suited to probably be your third best corner. You can maybe get away with him as being your second best corner. But Xavien Howard is no longer that guy. That's why Xavien Howard, if Xavien Howard was that guy, he would have been on Stephon Diggs. And it allows you to do a lot more with this defense when you have that. Also, you know, I know Javon Holland has had a lot on his table and he does a lot, but the praise that has been heaped on Javon Holland, I think has been a bit much. Like, he makes some plays. Did he force a couple of fumbles last week against Cortland Sutton? Sure. But if he hits that ball and Cortland Sutton doesn't fumble it, we're not sitting here talking about what a great season, you know, Javon Holland is. I think Javon Holland is a good player, but I don't know that he's like, you know, top three, top four safety in the league at this point. I think there's been a lot of hyperbole about how good this Dolphins secondary is. I think they really need Jalen Ramsey. But you know what the truth of this whole thing is about specifically what happened yesterday is that you could play any scheme that you wanted. You want to be mad at Vic Fangio? I get it. Does Vic Fangio need to be better? Yeah, absolutely. But every single player on that Dolphins defense, and frankly, just about every single player on the Dolphins team yesterday needed to be better. What that game was yesterday was not a game about X's and O's and the chess match. And that's really what it should have been. What that game should have been was a game about X's and O's and chess matches and all that. But you know what that game was? That game was about a team that came in there feeling like they, you know, were good enough to show up and feel their way through a game against a team that knew that they had to win, that was good enough to beat anybody in the league, played with the emotion of a team that knew that they had to win, that was getting a guy in Damar Hamlin back after just the most brutal consequences last year. And the Bills played a spirited effort, and the Dolphins went in there and thought that they could just play a regular football game. And they got punched in the mouth. And before they could get their bearings, it was too late. The game started to slip away. They started to kind of get back into it, but they just didn't have the answer. And the game got away from them. Do I think the Bills are 28 points better than the Dolphins? No. I don't. I think if the Dolphins approach that game the right way, I think that that's a close football game. But the Dolphins did not approach that game the right way. Whether you want to talk about scheme, whether you want to talk about emotion, whatever it was, the Dolphins were not ready to play that football game, and the Bills were. And that was a team that was an upstart, that was listening to everybody tell them how good they were for a whole week, go up against their big brother and get smacked back down into their place. And it's just a reminder that things are hard. It's going to be difficult to win on the road, especially against good football teams. And that's the team that you're chasing. So it's a long way to go. It's a loss, but there's a lot of football to be played.
There is quite a lot of football to be played, but that was a pretty good summation of the Dolphins' defensive performance in this game in particular. I will say that I thought Andrew Van Ginkel played a very strong game and is at this point making a case to be possibly the Dolphins' defensive MVP this season, which is really saying something when you look at some of the other guys on that roster, when you look at the contract that Emmanuel Ogba has, when you look at the contract that Bradley Chubb has, all the assets that the Dolphins gave away to those guys, and Bradley Chubb is, you know, getting handled fairly easily. It's kind of disappointing. David Long hasn't quite found his stride yet. I know that there are some people that say that Jerome Baker has long been a greatly overpaid player on this Dolphins team, and he's certainly playing like it. It's kind of disappointing. This is a defense that at this point has quite a bit to prove, And it's one of those things that nobody has wanted to talk about thus far because the offense had been outshining them so vastly in the first part of this season. And boy, they certainly got exposed. And whether it's schematically, which I think there are fingers to point that way, whether it is talent, I think there is fingers to point that way, and whether it's just effort and level of play from the players that you have that need to, they need to be at a level. Whatever the case may be is, this is a defense that has a long way to go to get itself to a level where the Dolphins are going to be competitive. And granted, you've got this Dolphins offense that is high powered, that is going to allow you to win games. It has been a long time since the Dolphins have had an offense that would enable them to win a game where they give up 30 points as they did in week one. They have that now, but sometimes you're going to run up against a team like Buffalo, who's going to be able to slow you down on offense. That's going to be able to scheme up pressure in such a way that they can bring that extra, bring that free rusher to your quarterback and still have the horses in the secondary to slow down your receivers. And that was something that happened as well. And the Dolphins had a very tough time responding to it. And I guess this is as good a time as any to shift the focus to the offensive side of the ball, because that's one of the big questions that I had coming into the season. Brain, we did that episode where we said, these are the questions that the Dolphins have to answer yes to if they're going to be successful this year. And what I asked was, is Mike McDaniel going to be able to scheme up an offense that when plan A is unavailable, that you can pivot to plan B or pivot to plan C and find those other ways to win? Is that something that he's going to be able to do? Now, we saw, and we took that and we combined it with, is Tua going to be able to play off schedule? When things don't go where Tua wants on that first read, is he going to be able to adjust? And we saw in week one that Tua was able to figure out some answers, right? And I will say that for the most part in this game, I thought that Tua managed it pretty well when things weren't there the way that he wanted them to. He managed it pretty well. You know who didn't manage it very well? Was Mike McDaniel. He got away from the run game that worked for him. And this offense, it's so precision-based. It's so timing-based. It's so specific. And when somebody gets in there and can muddle that up the way that the Bills did, McDaniel has a hard time pivoting and finding other ways to make things work on offense. And that is concerning. Now, last year, it was something that got solved late in the season, right? It got solved late in the season, and you didn't really get a chance to see the Dolphins implement those kind of adjustments because then Tua got hurt and you didn't get to see it. At this point, we have yet to see those adjustments be made. And the question is, will there be adjustments to make? Or is this going to be a team that's just going to go back to the drawing board and just say, nope, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to do it this way. And against the vast majority of teams, it's going to succeed and it's going to be great. But then there's going to be that elite level of competition that's going to be able to shut us down. And that's going to be the end of it. Because if that's where we're arriving to, it's going to be a fun ride to the first round of the playoffs. And then that's about where this train is going to run out of railway, quite frankly.
I couldn't disagree with you more on the offense, because I thought that the offense moved the ball really well. They hit a tough spot there where the Bills kind of slowed them down. They had some field position issues. The Bills defense made some plays. They got after it. They got some pressure. But it was exacerbated by turnovers, which had nothing to do with the play calling. And it's further exacerbated by the defense. The game script got away from them. Like, The Dolphins are putting up 30 points in this game if it's not for the, you know, the fact that they've got it, like they're down by 20 some odd points and they've got to go for it on fourth down every time that they get into the red zone. And secondly, they're going to have more balance if they're not down by 20 some odd points, you know, in the second half of the football game. The entire game script got away from them. Is the offense culpable for the turnovers? Sure. But, I mean, you're going to blame Mike McDaniel for the fumble? You're going to blame Mike McDaniel for Tua throwing a pick? You want to get mad at Tua for throwing a pick? Okay, he threw a pick. It happens just about once a game. Tua's going to make a bad throw, and you're going to cringe, and that's part of his DNA at this point. I think you just kind of have to understand that the good with Tua is that you're going to get some extremely efficient play at times, and then sometimes, at least once a game, you're going to get a throw that you really wish he had back. And this, it just couldn't happen in this game because there was no margin for error because the defense was so bad. And then they're turning it over on their side of the 50 against an offense that's rolling. You just, that can't happen in this game in Buffalo against that team. Like, Tua played fine in this game. And that drive to start the second half was as good a drive as you're going to ever see from any quarterback. Tua led them right back into this football game after it slipped away. Unfortunately, you know, the rest of the game script just didn't fall apart. Or it didn't go according to plan. It fell apart. But I'm not going to sit here and kill McDaniel for play calling when the offense was the only thing keeping you in the game for the vast majority of the game. The Dolphins didn't lose this game because they couldn't move the football. The Dolphins lost this game because they couldn't make a stop. They lost the turnover margin. They got beat in every facet of the game. They got beat in the trenches. They did not show up ready to play. They weren't ready for a fight. They came in there the last 3 weeks. I mean, the first week of the season, I think they were ready for a fight. It was a blow-to-blow, back-and-forth game. I think when you look at the Patriots game, if you look back at it now with what we've seen now over the last few weeks, I think you start to look back at it and you say, when this Dolphins team gets punched in the mouth, you know, can they deal with adversity? That game almost slipped away too. But, you know, the Denver game, there was no adversity to be found. In this game, it was like the Dolphins came in and they thought it was going to be easy. And they got punched in the mouth and they just didn't have an answer for it. But I'm not going to sit here and kill play calling. Like, the offense moved the ball great. They had, what, 6.5 yards per play? They put up 20 points, but they also, like, had multiple drives that ended, you know, on the Bills' side, you know, in field goal range because they were going for touchdowns late in the game because of the deficit. They had to give up on the running game because of the deficit. It's a game script thing. Defense plays better, then you can have more balance. This team can run the football. You've seen that this team can run the football.
They showed it over and over again. They showed it in that game. They showed it late in that game.
But if you're going to be able to run, if you want to run the football, don't be down by 20 some odd points in the fourth quarter.
If you want to run the football, maybe don't go into shotgun on fourth and one and do a drop back pass.
Well, maybe when you have Liam Eichenberg in the middle of your offense, that's going to affect your play calling too.
That's a good transition point when
you've got, you know, one of the best run blocking centers in the league in Connor Williams out due to injury, and you replace him with Liam Eichenberg because you just felt like you didn't need to have a real backup center because Liam Eichenberg needed to make the roster, because even though it's a must-win year and we're all in with our insurance policy being Liam Eichenberg at center.
Can we talk about this? Because it sounds like we're talking about it. So here we go. Boy, you had some people out there that were very loudly defending Chris Greer after his whole, you're more worried about those positions than we are statements. Those positions referring to offensive line and tight end. And I had people responding to me. I tweeted something like that out on Sunday, you know, that Chris Greer looked awfully smart. Yeah, I mean, he's not wrong. He shouldn't have traded Dan Feeney.
Would we get a sixth round pick and we and saved we are like a, and this a million is a
pro
dollars?
Dan Feeney podcast, if you don't remember. We are Dan Feeney fans on this podcast, baby. But
not
listen,
that would have been the difference in the game. Let's just
no, of course not. But you had a lot of people saying, oh, Chris Greer, you know, he was smart. You know? We were more worried. There was nothing to worry about. Everything was fine, right? And then I pointed out the fact that he didn't look so smart anymore after this game in Buffalo. And I had people responding to that tweet by saying, why? Because we were down two offensive linemen? Yes! Exactly! Well. Like, yes, obviously there's going to be a drop-off. You didn't do anything. I mean, there was to stand pat on that offensive line without bolstering it.
Well,
Teron Armstead is, I know that people have different ideas and different philosophies and different, you know, they feel differently about the term injury prone. But if you go to your, if you go, okay, I don't know where the World Book Encyclopedia is anymore. I don't know what that looks like now. But if you go to whatever the 2023 equivalent is of an encyclopedia and you look up injury prone, there's a big picture of Teron Armstead. Okay, this is a guy who can't stay healthy. And we've talked about it before. His whole thing, part of the reason that you got him cheaper than you expected to get him was because he can't stay healthy, right? So you've got your franchise defining tackle. And you, granted, you have him bolstered, but you don't have anybody else bolstered, right? You got Kendall Lamb and that's your backup. But like, what else are you doing? You got Connor Williams who has played extremely well. I think better than anybody expected when he moved to center. Your solution for backing him up is, well, we've got this draft pick that we've spent all this capital to move up and draft Liam Eichenberg, who has been a complete and total disaster. So our plan for him is we're going to give him his last shot by being the backup center. And as a result of that, a direct result, Liam Eichenberg was at center when Connor Williams was out for this game, and Liam Eichenberg couldn't hold his block, and he gets backed up, and guess what? Teron Armstead gets rolled up as a direct result of Liam Eichenberg's inability to stop the rush. And so, here we are with this offensive line. It's, you know, listen, it doesn't bring me any joy. I'm not happy, right? But all season long, all off season long, we said this offensive line is going to eventually become an Achilles heel for this Miami Dolphins team. And granted, this is one game, 4 weeks into the season. By all accounts, Teron Armstead is not out for the year. He's going to come back, supposedly. Connor Williams was very close to being ready to go. And the offensive line had played decently in those first three games. Now, to be fair, again, part of the reason that it appears that that offensive line had played decently is because Tua gets rid of the ball so fast. So there hasn't really been time for that offensive line to be terrible. But the fact of the matter is, this could be a problem. Going back to my previous point of what happens when your timing gets disrupted. Yes, Tua gets rid of the ball quickly. But if there is a team like Buffalo that figures out a way to bring that free rusher and cause this offensive line some problems, all I'm saying is that that house is not built on as strong of a foundation as we maybe might have thought after those first few games of the season.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. The offensive line isn't the reason they lost that game. Like, it really isn't. Now, Liam Eichenberg is a humongous drop-off from Connor Williams. But if you've got a, you know, a Pro Bowl or fringe Pro Bowl caliber center, any team in the league that has a really, really great center, I'm sure that the backup center is a major drop-off.
Like, oh, sure.
There were a lot of reasons that you should have kind of expected the Bills to win this game.
Sure.
Connor Williams being hurt was a big one that got, again, a lot of things got glossed over in the, you know, in the wake of scoring 70 points. I think, you know, even as us who try to be very level-headed, I think even we got a little bit overexcited. But like that said, I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and kill Chris Greer for and I am not this big Chris Greer supporter, but the offensive line has been good this year.
I'm not killing him. I'm just saying let's not throw him a victory parade for how wonderful he was to make that statement, because there's a long way to go in this season.
Right. Well, let me put it this way. Let's not throw anybody a victory, you know, parade, because it's September and now it's October and this is not where championships are won. And at the same time, this is not where championships are lost. 2 days ago, every single Dolphins fan, whether you were an optimistic fan or a pessimistic fan, every single Dolphins fan felt really, really good about their team. What changed? They had a bad game with some rough circumstances, and they didn't play well. And that it happened to happen in a big game. And that's not something that should be lost. Like that's not something that's lost on me. It's not something that's lost on anybody, that this was a big game and a big test and a big environment, and they didn't just lose, they got annihilated. I get it. But at the same time, this is not a season-defining moment at this point. Now, you go out and you lose next week and you allow this thing to snowball, and then the team doesn't make the playoffs, people will look back at this game and they'll say, yeah, that was a season-defining moment. But everything that this Dolphins team wants to accomplish is right in front of them. They're plenty good enough. You're not going to play that team in that place if you can help it the rest of the year. If you take care of business, you're going to have an opportunity to get that team in your place on the last game of the season. We have a lot of work to be done to get to that point where that game will be for the division and for a home playoff game. But right now, both teams are 3-1. The whole season is in front of you. Who scares you in the AFC? That team that you played and Kansas City. Those are the two teams that you're chasing. Who are the other teams in the AFC that scare you? I think Baltimore's really good. I think they're on the level with Miami. That's going to be a really interesting game when those two teams play. But I don't think that we're super scared of that team after what's happened the last two times that we've played them. I think everything is in front of this team. Like, this is not the day to all of a sudden give up on the season because you lost by 28 points to Buffalo. This is not necessarily the same. Like, I'll be the first to tell you when I think this team is the same old Dolphins. That was a very same old Dolphins performance. But I've seen a lot of good in the first 3 weeks of this season. That tells me that this team can still accomplish a lot this season. Now, I'm not going to blow up smoke. I'm not the one that picked the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl. I think there are some warts on this team that they need to get better at before I'm willing to sit here and tell you that I think the Dolphins are the best team in the league. But I think the Dolphins can absolutely contend. I think the Dolphins are absolutely a real contender. They didn't look like it on Sunday, but they've got the rest of the season to prove me right.
Yes. And there's a long, like I said, there's a long way to go. And this was an absolutely hideous game. And there's, but there is a long way between now and week 18 when the Dolphins will once again face the Buffalo Bills. And the fact of the matter is, right now, there are only two teams in the NFL with a better record than the Miami Dolphins. And that's the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers. So it is not a doom and gloom situation. I think it's, this is kind of a moment, though, it's a convenient moment, an easy moment, to step back and go, here are the red flags that this team has, and these are things that need to be addressed. Now, does this mean that the Dolphins are clearly not a Super Bowl team? I'm not here to make that judgment, right? Would I pick the Dolphins right now? Would I make a bet right now on the Dolphins to win a Super Bowl? I don't know. Show me the odds. I'll make that decision. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, this is an ugly game. It was an ugly, ugly loss. But it is actually not one of, I mean, it would be pretty bad, but there are numerous examples of teams losing games worse than the Dolphins lost this game to the Bills and going on to win the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not telling you that the Dolphins are going to go on to win the Super Bowl, but I will tell you that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, at the end of that 2020 season, they went on to win the Super Bowl. They lost a regular season game 38-3 to the Saints. And if I'm remembering correctly, that might have been a home game. In 94, the 49ers lost 40-8, went on to win the Super Bowl. The 76 Raiders lost 48-17, a 31-point loss, won the Super Bowl. 2003 Patriots, one of their two losses that season, was 31-0 to the Bills, went on to win the Super Bowl. 2012 Ravens lost a game by 30 points to the Houston Texans, 43-13, went on to win the Super Bowl. Am I telling you the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl? No, I'm not saying that right now. But what I am saying is that losing by 28 points to the Buffalo Bills, a team that came into the game with a point to prove and, you know, honestly had more riding on that game, frankly, than the Dolphins did. Losing that game in Buffalo is not the end of the world. It's not the end of the season. It's really not the end of anything. If anything, if it's the end of anything, it should be the end of people telling you that this team can do no wrong and that they are the best team in the league. Listen, the Dolphins are still in that conversation of best teams in the league, but what matters now is how they respond, because this was rough. This was a rough one. And sometimes you just got to take your medicine and you learn from it and you move on, and that's all you can do. Because, you know, I mean, it's kind of like we said at the end of that game against the Broncos. You didn't come away from that game. You couldn't come away from that game against the Broncos and go, you know, everything. I mean, it felt like everything was right in the world, but, you know, that wasn't a realistic picture of where things are. And likewise, I would say that losing by 28 points in Buffalo to Buffalo is not an adequate picture of where the Miami Dolphins are as a football team. So there's a long way to go. But I think this is a perfect opportunity to ask this question.
Let me check your pulse if you're not fired up.
That's right. It's time once again for a Dolphins Talk pulse check. This is where we ask you to tell us one word how you are feeling about your Miami Dolphins right now. We want you to know, so let us know in the comments. If you're watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, put it in the comments. If you're watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, put it in the comments. We'll share some of your answers with everybody here as we broadcast the show. But I'll start with you, Brain. It's time for you to check your pulse. How are you feeling? What is one word to describe how you are feeling about the Miami Dolphins right now?
Look, after last week's game, we were all drunk. We were all drunk on the Kool-Aid. I wasn't sipping it, but I mean, you still felt, you got like a contact high from all of the people drinking it. And now I'm sober. I realize now that all of those things that you saw that you glossed over, they're still there. We just ignored them because, you know, who wants to pay attention to, you know, a blown coverage or a missed tackle? You know, who wants to pay attention to little things like that? Or the fact that, you know, we probably give up 30 points against Denver, if not for drop touchdowns and just poor offense by the Broncos. But who wants to focus on that when you're scoring 70 points? Like, nobody wants to be the Debbie Downer. I kind of live in that space of being the Debbie Downer. But even myself, like, I don't want to be that every week. And I certainly get tired of, you know, hearing it every single week. Like, oh, Aaron, how are you going to be so down on the team? We just won. This team is so good. Aaron, you're too negative. You're too negative. So I said, you know what? I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get drunk with the fans on the 70 points. Well, now I'm sober. And now I think everybody can be sober. And now we can just stay at an even keel and look at this thing for what it was. Coming into the season, maybe you thought the Dolphins were going to win week one. Maybe you thought they were going to lose. You probably had them winning the next 2 weeks. And you damn sure had them losing in Buffalo. So best case scenario, just about any Dolphin fan would have had the Dolphins at 3-1 with their one loss coming at Buffalo. And here we are. Whether you thought that the Dolphins were going to win the Super Bowl or be a playoff team, whatever, you knew that they were going to lose this game. So, did you want to lose by 28 points? No. But it's not the end of the world. Like, look, nuance, it matters. Context matters. This was not a game where, like, look at, like, the Bills lost to the freaking Jets. I mean, come on. This team lost it. The Bills are not some invincible team. The Bills played about as well as they could play, and the Dolphins played a bad game in their house. That's what happens. The NFL is a week-to-week league. Things are going to change. Look, Kansas City almost lost to the Jets. Nobody saw that coming. Like, things are going to happen. Weird things are going to happen. Teams are going to lose games that you think that they have no business losing. Teams are going to win games that you think they have no business winning. At the end of the day, the best teams are going to rise to the occasion. At the end, the cream's going to rise to the top, and we'll see where things are when we get there. But for right now, the Dolphins are right where they're supposed to be. The Teron Armstead news sucks, and we'll see what kind of happens there. He's going to be out for some weeks. It looks like he's probably going to go on IR. The Dolphins have the counter for it. We've seen it. Like, Tua's going to get rid of the ball quick. They're going to have six-man protections. They're going to run the ball a little bit more. They can deal with it. Kendall Lamb is a better swing tackle than what the Dolphins have had the last couple of years. Austin Jackson is still playing at a much higher level than Austin Jackson has ever played in the NFL. Connor Williams is going to come back. Like, this offensive line, is it great? No, it's not great. Is it good enough? Yeah, it's good enough. This offense, is it good enough? Yeah, it's good enough. It's damn good. The defense needs to make their improvements. There are reinforcements coming, but the players that are there need to be better. You're paying a lot of money for Bradley Chubb to go out there and not make an impact. Christian Wilkins wants to be like the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. He's not playing like he should be the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. Like, the only guy on the defense that's really playing at an extremely high level consistently is Andrew Van Ginkle, who was a guy that most people probably didn't even think the Dolphins were going to bring back this year. So there are guys that need to step up their play. Vic Fangio, he's got a great track record. Track record ain't going to win jack shit. Sorry.
I swear.
Yeah. Track record ain't winning anything. But you, as a fan, you should have some solace in knowing that Vic Fangio has a track record and he should be able to figure this out. It's why you went out and got him. Now, if we're a month from now and the Dolphins are still giving up 30 points every single week and this defense looks like it has no idea what it's doing, then hey, I get it. I'll be as frustrated as you guys. But I think that all the pieces, I think there are enough pieces on that defense. I think it's not as talented as we thought. And I think that it puts an onus on the depth here. And I think it puts an onus on the guys that are the high, you know, the franchise cornerstone guys, you know, your Jalen Phillipses, your Bradley Chubbs, your Christian Wilkins, your Xavien Howard, your Javon Hollins. If those guys are truly cornerstone players, well, they need to step up their play. Cause you know, Jalen Ramsey's going to come back, but is Jalen Ramsey going to be 100% when he comes back? I don't know. There's a lot of work to be done. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm downtrodden and that the season's over. It's one loss, but I'm definitely sober.
All right. I appreciate that. Let's hear what some of the other people have to say. Patrick Mullen on Twitter says, same. Jonathan says, queasy. Happiness Hotel says, hopeful. Chris Petit says, fine. Carolyn says, all good. Dolphins talk, disappointed. Phil Piccolo, confused. Mario Franchini, excited. Jake is nervous. Tua Dimes is flaccid. Jose Rico Arango is strong. Tom Ernesty says, tired. Bobby D93 says, familiar. Three kids are a blessing, not panicked. Cubinator 10 says concerned. Jabari Morris is concerned. Keith Hummel is embarrassed. Foothill Finn is enthusiastic. Frank Imerati is intrigued. Brian R. Kelly says defenseless. Joseph Conlon is worried. Warrior Boss says good. Frankie D is bummed. Jordan Murray frustrated. Glenn Rushworth anxious. Lord Matt is loyal. Doc C. Ariok is pumped. Mark Curry, soft. Tony DeLoya, Liam. Chris Buston is disappointed. Derek is hopeful. Same old Lolfins is habitualness. Paul Ray Holland is confident. Nathan Stokes, realism. Maddie is deflated. And Andy is pumped. Let's see what some of the folks here watching live on the stream say. We've got some here. Let's see. Robert Ashton says, J.M. Santos, concern. Don John Unin is deflated. Jay says, shit, you swore, so I swore. Cap for Life is confused. Alejandro Ramirez is surprised. Brad K. is astonished. Ray Finkel, hopeful. Brad Keel, flabbergasted. Euro Lorenzo is confused. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get all of those feelings. I'll tell you how I'm feeling, though. I'm feeling humbled because it's one of the things that Tua talked about in his post-game press conference, and I thought he did a really good job. I think there were some guys on this team that needed to take their medicine because I think there were some guys on this team that were maybe drinking a little bit of Kool-Aid. I think there may be some of those guys on the defensive side of the ball that need to get their act together. And this game is going to be a hard lesson for them. And I think as fans, I think perhaps some of us allowed ourselves to get a little carried away. And that is only natural after you watch your team put up 70 points. You know, it happens. And I think we all had grand ideas of what it would be like if the Dolphins went into Buffalo and beat the Bills and what that would mean, you know. And all of us were imagining that 4-0 Dolphins team with a 2-game lead in the AFC East with games against the Giants and the Carolina Panthers to come. And everybody was just like, yes, yes. And so we all kind of started to get a little carried away. And there, you know, in Dolphins fandom, this is a thing that happens, right? You allow yourself to get really high and then you get dragged back down to reality. And that's what's happened here. So we've been humbled, but as I pointed out, as we've sort of said here, as upsetting as this result was, fact of the matter is if this result is going to happen, week 4 is a pretty good time for it to happen because now you've got a lot of time to get that train back on the tracks and get things moving in the right direction. Now, from a personnel standpoint, you're going to get a little bit of help on the offensive line. As you said, Connor Williams is going to come back. Jalen Phillips is going to come back on defense. Nick Needham is going to come back on defense. Eventually, you're going to get Jalen Ramsey back in the mix. So there are some reserves coming in. But, you know, it was tough. It was a tough game. So you're humbled. But now you move forward. You take your butt whooping. I told you that I had that friend in the office. I live in Central New York. It's Bill's country here. And there was a friend that asked me how I was feeling about the game. And I said, you know, I'm prepared for literally any result. And among those results that I think is possible is you guys boat racing us. That's what happened. I walked in there this morning. I said, see, told you that was possible. You know, but you take your medicine. I walked into the office today wearing my Dolphins hat because I don't care. I'm going to support my team. And that's all there is to it. But, you know, it's not all bad news coming out of this game. All right. You got something in Devon Achane. You got something here. Okay. By the way, to the half a dozen people that I saw mostly on Facebook who Their takeaway from the Bills game was, this is why we need Jonathan Taylor. My thought was, I wonder if Jonathan Taylor could cover Stephon Diggs. You don't need to go get a running back.
Jonathan Taylor's not making that catch that Raheem Mostert made.
No, he's not. So your running back room is fine. You're getting Jeff Wilson back. You know, obviously, I understand if you've got concerns about the health things with Wilson and Mostert. Whatever. You got yourself some running backs. And Tua Tagovailoa was hit quite often in that game against the Bills. And QB1 is still raring to go. He's just fine. So far, so good in terms of falling class working out for your quarterback. So that's good too. I mean, yeah, you hate to lose Teron Armstead. But you didn't lose him for the season, at least not at this point. You're going to get him back. So, largely, you come out of this game humbled, but relatively speaking, you come out of this game a little bruised, a little beaten, but just fine and ready to face what lies ahead for the Miami Dolphins. And I think that's an okay place to be. Because you're, like I said, you're still in pole position. You're still tied for the best record in the AFC. So it's not like this result changes anything from that perspective. If you're one of the people that's like, well, we don't control our own, that you do control your destiny still. So it's all still right there in front of you. Plenty of football to be played. Long way to go. You now know what needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed fairly urgently. The key thing is you gotta bounce back What I would really love is for you to bounce back and just beat the living stuffing out of the New York Giants, who are coming to Miami in a short week. You beat them up. You take out your frustration on them. And let's get this thing fixed. Let's get it back where it needs to be. Brain, any parting words for the people?
Time to get back to work. Nobody's going to overlook the Giants at this point. You come off of a loss like this, you get back to work, you get back to basics. You do what you got to do. You come home, you feel good. You got two home games now. You get right, and then you've got your big test. But we don't even want to talk about that Philly game because, you know, you got to take care of business. You got to take care of the business that's right in front of you. And that is right now, you know, I'm not sure if the team had the day off today. I'm sure they probably did for travel. But when they get in there, get in the film room, look at what happened, own it, take a hard, long look and realize what you did wrong and where you need to improve. Make the adjustments and go take care of business. It's a brand new week. It's a week-to-week league. You're not going to make up for that loss by stewing on it. You'll make right. up. Like, if you keep thinking about revenge against the Bills in week 18, you're going to get to that week 18 game and it's going to be meaningless. The only way that that game is going to matter is if the Dolphins turn the page, get back to playing football and back to taking care of things, you know, right in front of them. Because if they do, they're going to be right there in the thick of it when it all matters. So get the frustration out. I hear you, all of Dolphins Nation. Get the frustration out. But look. If you were drinking the Kool-Aid a week ago and now you're feeling distraught, then I feel pretty good that a week from now you're going to be feeling much better.
And as Mike says in the comments, could be worse. We could be Jets fans. We could be Patriots fans. We could be Bengals fans.
I would rather
you could be Steelers fans.
I'd rather be a Patriots fan today.
You could be Chargers fans. You could be Raiders fans. There are a lot of teams in the AFC that have it a lot worse than the Miami Dolphins right now. So, anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Thank you, as always, for joining us. A reminder, if you're not doing so already, to make sure you're following us at Amplified to Rock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. At Same Old Dolphins. You can follow us on X, which is at twitter.com. And you can follow us on Blue Sky at Amplified to Rock, at Same Old Dolphins over there as well. Download, rate, review, and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, anywhere you get your podcast. Seriously, leave us a review. Helps us out. Appreciate it. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Like the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page, Facebook group. Join the team. We appreciate you being with us. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up. We'll be back with you later this week to talk about the New York Football Giants. But in the meantime, take care of yourselves and each other. And as always, go Dolphins!
In the words of Mike Olivo, Liam Eikenberg stinks on touch.